Welcome, welcome. Thank you, Perry, for that lovely recording. It was a combination of Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, with Be Thou My Vision. Very, very pretty. We're so grateful that Perry continues to help us out by recording music and sending it to us. We're once again online. It continues. People get out and more active, but we still want to stay at home as much as possible and keep those who are vulnerable at home and keep them as safe as possible. So we're glad that you're here to join us, and thank you as always for your patience and for your participation. You're invited to read and sing along in your homes as we play the songs and read the worship liturgy. Feel free to, we'll put it up when we can. If you're watching this later, we do have, go ahead and pause the video here and download our bulletin. It's a good spot to do that. You can read the bulletin along as you watch the video with us. And now let us enter into a time of worship as we do our call to worship. Oh, Jack, you're muted. Hold on a second. Okay, let's try that again.
Sorry about that. How about now?
You're good.
Eternal Creator, we praise you for the goodness of plants and animals, sea and sky, and humankind, which you created in your image.
Holy Wisdom, we thank you for speaking to us through scripture and music and the words of our neighbors.
Fiery Spirit, we ask you to guide us as we seek to be faithful to your word and good stewards of your creation.
Triune God, bless us this day as we worship, this week as we grow in faith, and all our lives as we seek to reflect your love to the world. We pray in the name,
Of God,
Creator. Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And now, let us join in singing our first hymn. It's Holy, Holy, Holy. Give me one second while I pull it up. And I have to get the right buttons. Oh, and I was asked, the call to worship that we just used was adapted from a prayer written by Katya Uchikoff and used with permission and get when giving credit. So we want to make sure she gets credit. And now we will sing our hymn.
Thank you.
And now for our scripture, for our Genesis scripture, we're going to do a more of a dramatic reading. So we'll be going back and forth between Jack and I. So I'm ready when you are.
When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters, and God said,
"Let there be light."
And so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said,
"Let there be a dome in the middle of the waters to separate the waters from each other."
God made the dome and separated the waters under the dome from the waters above the dome. And it happened in that way. God named the dome sky. There was evening, there was morning, the second day. And God said,
"Let the waters under the sky come together into one place so that the dry land can appear."
And that's what happened. God named the dry land earth, and he named the gathered waters seas. And God saw how good it was. And God said,
"Let the earth grow plant life, plants yielding seeds and fruit trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind throughout the earth."
And that's what happened. The earth produced plant life, plants yielding seeds, each according to its kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind. God saw how good it was, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day, and God said,
"Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will mark events, sacred seasons, days and years. They will be lights in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth."
And that's what happened. God made the stars and two great lights, the larger light to rule over the day, the smaller light to rule over the night. God put them in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw how good it was. There was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day, and God said,
"Let the waters swarm with living things, and let birds fly above the earth up in the dome of the sky."
God created the great sea animals and all the tiny living things that swarm in the waters, each according to its kind, and all the winged birds, each according to its kind. And God saw how good it was. Then God blessed them.
"Be fertile and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth."
There was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day, and God said,
"Let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife."
And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground. God saw how good it was, and then God said,
"Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth."
God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them,
"Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground."
And then God said,
"I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds, and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food."
And that's what happened. God saw everything he had made. It was extremely good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The heavens and the earth and all who live in them were completed. On the sixth day, God completed all the work that he had done. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
Thanks, Jack. So there were two scriptures that I really wanted to focus on today, so I've ended up splitting them up and kind of reflecting on the two of them together. And the first one is what we just read, which is Genesis. This is the Genesis 1 creation story, because we do have two in our Bible. And so give me a second to pull up my notes. Now, this Sunday, today is also what's known as Trinity Sunday, when we celebrate the Trinity. And so at first it kind of sounds weird. Why are we talking about creation when we're talking about the Trinity, because we're talking about just God? And sometimes Genesis, because Genesis 1 in particular, like all the debate over whether we look at the science or the history, that sometimes we forget what the truth of Genesis 1 is about. Sometimes we focus so much on the idea of dominance that we forget responsibility. We focus on the details of Genesis 1 that we forget to revel in the beauty of the whole. And when we look at the whole, that's when we start to see how it relates to the Trinity. Today's creation story is ultimately rooted in goodness and blessing. Blessed to have been made in the goodness of God's image, and we are blessed to be given responsibility for God's creation. But I really want to focus on what it does it mean to be made in God's image. This creation story of Genesis reminds us that God created all of humanity, men and women, people of color, people of different genders, people of different religions, all of humanity in God's image. In a society that focuses on and values individual strengths and rights, we sometimes forget the all part. We use differences as an excuse to belittle one's humanity, forgetting that God has created those differences amongst us and called them good. We are all made in the image of God. We are all what is we call in the theology world as the Imago Dei, the image of God. So often we let society, as I said, the focus on the individual strengths, but not only that, our fears of the unknown, our fears of the differences. We let those get in the way and we forget that the person we are standing across from is also made in the image of God. When we forget their humanity, when we forget their image, that God is in this person we're looking at, suddenly it's a lot easier to be oppressive towards them, to be violent, to take away choices from them. that becomes them versus us. But as a colleague of mine said, it is only the fullness of humanity bound together in community that accurately reflects the heart of God. We are all created in the image of God. Now, I do want to stop and take a moment and clarify in this age, this current time. I'm sure a lot of you have heard all lives matter versus Black Lives Matter. This is the one of those cases, though, where saying all lives matter is not actually taking in all creation's imago Dei. Because when we say all lives matter, we ignore the fact that our society does not value Black lives and people of color's lives in the same way that we value white lives. So when we say all lives matter, we're actually excluding the imago Dei of people of color. Whereas when we say Black Lives Matter, we're saying Black Lives Matter too. We are working to include and point out and justify Black Lives Matter as much as white lives. People of colors, when you hear Native Lives Matter, all those are people that are fighting to be viewed as human. So when we say all are made in the image of God, we want to remember that Black lives matter too, and Native lives matter, trans lives matter. All people are part of humanity. All people are God's beloved children. All people are made in the image of God. Now, that doesn't exactly... So back to the Trinity then. The Trinity is what I'm talking about, how we have God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. The Trinity represents relationship, a loving, unconditional relationship. And so I like to think that when we are made in the image of God, it's not about how we look, but rather it is about how we love one another, how we act in relationship, how we offer grace and forgiveness to one another. That's why it's so important to have conversations with people that are different than us, to get a new understanding. Because not only do we gain a new relationship with one another, we also start to understand a little bit more about God. Because we are all God. We are all made in God's image. We are all created in God's image. And when we know a person's story, when we understand who they are as a person, it's a whole lot harder to be oppressive, to make decisions that will affect others' lives besides our own. It's a lot harder to be violent. It's a lot harder to throw away somebody's opinion. When we act like the Trinity, when we recognize the imago Dei in one another, we can be in relationship with one another. We can love one another, even though we may not always agree. There's a deeper love, a deeper peace and patience with one another that says, I understand your difference, but I still, and I don't necessarily agree, but I still love you. The one thing, again, a side note with that, that I do want to, a caveat to remember though, is in these conversations, when you are making space, don't let your disagreements or your arguments ultimately dehumanize the other person that you're talking with. This is particularly important as we continue to have conversations about racial injustice, about systemic racism, conversations about LGBTQ rights. These are some tough conversations that we need to have. And not everybody is going to necessarily agree, but if we can enter them recognizing that all are created in the image of God, that there are no mistakes, we can love those who are different than us, then we can have these conversations and understand a little bit more of God beyond our own understanding. And we can all become agents of love. May it be so. Let us sing our hymn, Creating God, Creating Still. As soon as I, nope, need to pull it up. Got windows changing on me. Hold on a second. Okay. Creating God, Creating Still. Our second scripture is nice and short. It comes from 2 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. Let me get everything pulled up again. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Put things in order, respond to my encouragement, be in harmony with each other, and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Say hello to each other with a holy kiss. All of God's people say hello to you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, this letter comes from Paul to the church in Corinth. He is saying farewell. He is apart from them. And those of you, a lot of you may realize, and for those who don't, this is my last Sunday with Grace, as you have called a new pastor, and I'm excited for you and moving on. And this scripture just happened to be, it was the lectionary scripture, and it made it kind of easy to choose it. And so, like Paul in writing this letter, we are physically apart. We are all trying to keep the faith, to remember what it means to be church, to find new ways of being church. We are continuing to work on relationships at the same time we are apart. And though Paul had hopes of coming back together to be with this congregation, we don't know. I hope that I will see you in some ways, but I want things to work out with Pastor Keith so that you will be creating a new relationship with him. And so I hear this letter both as a reminder to for everyone to continue to work on building relationships, to work on love and understanding and acceptance, like I talked about in the first part, to remember that differences are still part of what God has created amongst us, that we can have love of one another. As a friend of mine says, though, sometimes we may love one another, we just don't like each other. And that is true sometimes. But we're still called to love one another. And as the church transitions, not only hopefully eventually from online to back into the sanctuary and a new normal emerges, as things transition from one pastor to another, there are going to be hiccups. And so as Paul says, be in harmony, live in peace, greet one another, put things in order, put aside those things that maybe have been done in the past again and again, but maybe aren't working. Put those aside and open up new spots in your heart and in relationships to try new things, to experiment. Allow space for relationships to grow instead of cutting them off. I personally want to thank the church for the new relationship that I have created with you over the almost the past year, for the growth that you have allowed me to have, for your support as I not only have grown in experience, but it's also again in confidence. And also I've gotten to meet some really great people, and you are a wonderful church, Grace. And I have confidence in you, and I wish for you that Pastor Keith will help you all to continue to grow and maybe deal with some conflicts that, as much as we don't like to think are there, are still there. to grow past them, to find a new normal, and to always be church. Paul ends his letter talking about the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, that ultimate relationship of unconditional love and acceptance and a lack of hierarchy. Relationship that is based on the relationship of the Trinity is not about one person or one job or one role in the church. Ultimately, the relationship, the Trinity, is about everyone loving one another and working together to make God's kingdom here on earth. May it be so. Amen. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Dear Trinity, God, Christ, and Spirit, we give thanks that we are created in your image. We give thanks that we have the capacity to love one another, to love all people. We confess our fears and our doubts get in the way sometimes, and we forget. We forget that we are your children and that those across from us are also your children. And we make it an us versus them situation instead of a both and situation. We ask your forgiveness. And we know that because you are ultimately a grace-filled God, that we are forgiven. In this time of continued fear and frustration, we find hope that new relationships are being created, that new conversations are being had, that people who may be different in color are starting to once again see you in the face smiling or talking to them. We give thanks for those who are on the front lines continuing to fight the battle against COVID-19 and the pandemic. We give thanks that in each body, though they may not know the person, they still recognize each person, each patient, as more than a number. We lift up friends and family who we have named or not named aloud, who are sick or who are struggling. We ask that they may feel your calming presence, your healing presence. And so we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we move on to our offering portion. Just quick little note, a reminder, a giving of thanks for those who have continued to pay, to send money, to give their tithes and offering. Jim has put the link there in the chat. The link is also on the bulletin if you pull it up at home. And we give thanks for, because without the continued offerings coming in, it would be harder to be the church. But the offering allows us to continue, even though we're not meeting physically, to be, it allows us to be the church and share our gifts with one another. Now, as we enter into a time of communion, let me make sure I have everything pulled up. And make sure I have the right screen. So let's spotlight the video on the communion table. Thank you, Jack. I would like to invite you to the table with these words. Christ gave us the mandate to love one another. Christ gave us the peace that we will never be left alone. Christ gave us the picture that we are connected as vine and branches. Christ gave us the assurance that no one will take away our joy. And so we come to this table that is open to all, in spirit, togetherness. And if you will let me pull it up and share the screen, we will say our prayer of thanksgiving together. Wait, make sure the right one is pulled up. Almost got the technology down. Okay. Make sure, is Jack unmuted? Are we good to go? I think maybe so.
I think I'm ready.
Okay, sounds good. There, we got it. God is with you.
God is with us all.
Open wide our hearts.
We open them to new possibilities.
From our dining room tables to our home offices.
This is the time to give God our thanks and praise.
Our homes may be filled with young voices, or our homes may be filled with overwhelming silence. This table might be brimming with family, or we may be sitting by ourselves at the empty table. But the table is never truly empty. The silence will not be the last sound you hear. Jesus the Christ has created a realm of love for each of us, one in which we will be reunited with loved ones, one in which we are assured of God's comfort. It was a night filled with teachings and memories. Undoubtedly, tears were shed and laughs raised. This was the night before Jesus died. At this time, I encourage you, if you have whatever element you may be using and your drink, to have it ready. Jesus took bread. As he blessed it and broke it, he said to his friends, "Whenever you eat this bread, eat in remembrance of me." Later, Jesus blessed a cup filled with fruit of the vine. "Friends, this is the new covenant. Drink this to remember me. Drink to remember our time together." Spirit of God, surround the bread, surround the cup, surround the elements, no matter what form they take. Surround us, no matter where we are. Let us eat together the bread of life. Let us drink together our cup of blessing. And then let us join together. Bless us in our eating and drinking. Bless our connection near and far. Even with physical distance between each one of us, our covenant with God will keep us together. Amen. Our closing hymn is "Peace I Leave With You, My Friends." We're singing verses 1 and 3. It starts off with the refrain and goes to the verse. And let me pull it up. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. Unmuted now. Started on time, did communion and two little mini sermons, and we're still getting out early. Hey, what do you say? That's a way to end the last one, right? Again, I want to lift up thanks and love to those of you at Grace for the support and friendship that you have given me over the past year. And I wish joy and happiness and excitement for you as you continue on your journey of being church. And now for everyone, as we go into this week, I encourage you to look at one another and not see the differences as reasons for fear, but look for new conversations to be had. And remember that everyone is blessed and created by God in God's image. And remember the Trinity. Remember what true loving relationship looks like. May we all go forth as agents of love. Amen. Spotlight video while I get the music up. Thank you all for joining us. There we go. Thank you all for joining us. We are unmuted if you want to say hi to anybody or.
And Vanessa, thank you again for all that you've done for us over this past year and a half since you actually started out the first few weeks right after Mindy left. So we really do appreciate all that you've all the effort you've put in for this last year and a half.
Well, thank you. It's
yes. A joy. This is Kathy. We really do appreciate all that you do.
Thank you. I wish luck. Oh, Keith's a good egg. He comes from Eden. He started at Eden I graduated in the spring of 2015, and he started in the fall of 2015, so.
Well, good luck with whatever comes next in your ministry.
Thank you. We'll see. See where God takes me next.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelsey. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I guess I will.
Jack, you're muted. Right. Hold on a second.
There. That's good. I've been there trying to say something for 20 minutes, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry.
I know how I rate here. No, thank you very much for all that you've given us, the gifts that you brought us. We greatly appreciate it. And best of luck and God's blessings to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I just realized, I just realized I forgot to allow time for announcements. I don't.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was ready. There's the 20 minute speech I'll never get to give.
That's why you were done early.
But thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Pastor Vanessa. We're still recording. If you had announcements, you could go ahead and do.
But no, I didn't. I meant to stop recording. I guess I'll do that.